Blog Talk Radio.
I want to say good afternoon to each and everyone that is listening. We want to thank you and welcome you back to our Friday evening Bible study. This is our first study for the new year, the year 2016, and I just want to say God is good because He has kept us throughout the year 2015 and He has started us on our way for the year 2016. So I'm very happy to be back and very happy to have those of you who are online listening with us. We're missing quite a few of our friends, but nevertheless, we are hoping that after the break that they will also join us pretty soon. So we want to thank you, and Jackie is there. I want to say a very big welcome to you, Jackie. God bless. Good to see you. Good to have you back with us on our first show for the new year. And today we are looking at the topic of prayer. Prayer. It's good to begin the year with prayer, and we have our special guest speaker with us, special guest presenter, and that is Pastor Larry Milliken. So he's going to be coming on a little bit later, but I just want to introduce this topic of prayer today because we know that without prayer, it is very difficult to be all that we should be. Prayer is the source of power for us who are Christians and for us who believe in Christ. It is what keeps us connected to Him, and it is how we talk with Him as we pray. And when we study His Word, that's how He talks to us, and also He speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. But I just want to say this, that Jesus was our great model when it comes to intercessory prayer. He had a life that was breathed, so to speak, in prayer. He prayed regularly. And if Jesus, being the divine Son of God, you know, took time to pray, and the Bible says He did that often, then how much more do we, as regular mortals, you know, human beings, need to pray? Prayer is of necessity because it is the way in which we can foster our relationship with God. The Bible says in Mark 1 and verse 35, and it says that, and I'm going to just read, it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before day, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed." And this was something that Jesus did often. Mark 1 and verse 35 said that Jesus would get up early in the morning and he would go to a solitary place or a quiet place, and there he would pray and commune with his Father in heaven. Now, we might not have a solitary place, or we might not be able to go out into the mountains like Jesus did and pray, but there could be somewhere in our homes that we can term a prayer closet. And then when we are ready to pray, we go to that spot, and it's good to make it a regular spot to meet with God. And we go to that spot, and not only to have a regular spot to pray, but also to have a regular time when we meet with God. You know, so we would meet with him at a certain spot and at a certain time of the day, whatever is convenient for you. For Jesus, it was early in the morning. And I find that that's one of the best times for me also to pray. That's when I get up and I study also. It is not easy for me to study in the evening, but early in the mornings when it's very quiet, I'm talking like about 3-4 o'clock, that's when I get up and that's when I spend my own personal time with God, and I have my own personal communion with him. So whatever time is best for you, whatever time you feel, you know, is the best time, that would be a good time for you to meet with him and to make it a regular time of prayer, so that you can have your fellowship with our Lord and Savior, and you can also strengthen that relationship between you and him. Then in Luke 5 and verse 16, it says that he himself, talking about Jesus, withdrew into the wilderness. No, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So not only did he get up and he went to a solitary place, but here Luke is saying that he did this very often. And Jesus, while he was on earth ministering and doing the Lord's work, he thought that it was necessary for him to be in prayer, in communion with God very often. And if Jesus thought that, I think that we also need to see the need, and we should also be on this in the same attitude as Jesus was. We should develop these habits, especially with the new year coming in. Jesus didn't just pray once in a while, but it says he prays often, or in other words, Jesus made prayer a habit. That was a habit in his life, to pray to God and pray to the Father. And if he saw that it was necessary to do that, then it is, I think we also should see the necessity of making a habit and making prayer a habit in our lives. And with that thought, I just want to introduce our co-host, our very special co-host, and that is Sister Jackie, Jackie Grace. And Jackie, I just want to say welcome. Happy New Year to you. Hello?
Good afternoon to each and everyone, and Happy New Year. It's so good to be back, and what a wonderful topic to start this year with, prayer, because prayer is so important. You know, it's a way of communication, and it's not only a one-way of communication, it's a two-way. Sometimes we need to spend time quietly before the Lord and hear from him, you see? And he set the example of getting away from the crowd and pray, so we too should have our prayer closet where we get away, you know, get away disconnected from the world and just have that intimacy with God. There is a beautiful passage in Psalms that says, it's from Psalms 5 and 3, say, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I will lay my request before thee and wait in expectation. So that morning hours is very important. You know, it's the starting of our day, it's the starting of every activity we have. So it's good to start out right, start out in prayer, start out talking to the Lord, asking the Lord to guide us, you see, because the Bible also tells us that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we need to pray and pray and pray until we pray, and thank God, and I'm happy to be back and pray that you are too, and thank you, Donald, for allowing us to have this wonderful time together where we can encourage, strengthen, and exhort each other.
Yes, amen. And I must say it's good to hear your voice, Jackie. Praise the Lord. How are things over there in Alabama?
Everything
Georgia
is wonderful.
Very wet and rainy,
yeah, here too.
And a little chilly. How is it over there?
Here it's been raining since last night, and it's kind of chilly also. And I'm very thankful because I came from an island where you only get rain and sunshine. And here we are blessed to have all four seasons. God is good. You see, some people
Amen.
Complain about the snow, about the hot weather. We should be thankful. God allow us to see another day in our right mind, breathing on our own. Those things alone are blessings. So we should be thankful for everything, as the Bible says. And everything gives thanks, you know, because
Amen.
We are blessed. Yeah.
And that is true. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's why I so enjoy having you, and I'm glad that you join us for this Bible study, and not only join us, Jackie, but I'm glad also that you agreed to be one of the hosts on the show to help host the program, because you put such a positive spin on things, and you just are so upbeat and positive that it just, it kind of seeps through the phone and it infuses just about everyone that is listening, your positive energy. So I just want to thank God for that. And I
to God be the glory.
Yes, amen. I see Pastor Milliken is on the phone also. Pastor, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Yes, good evening to everyone.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening. In a little while, I'm going to bring you on and let you share your thoughts on prayer. But before I do that, I just want to read a little bit from John chapter 17, where Jesus himself prays for his disciples. And he didn't only pray for the disciples, but in that prayer in John 17, he prayed for us as well. And I think
Amen.
That was just such a great thing, yeah, that Jesus looked through the corridors of time, and he saw you and me from way back then, and he knew that we also would need prayer, and he prayed for us. And that is such a marvelous thing, such a wonderful thing. But before I read from the Bible, I'm just going to say a word of prayer to begin this study officially, and then after which we're going to play a song, and then after the song of meditation, Pastor Milliken, you're going to come right in. Okay?
All right, that's fine.
Okay, let us pray. Father and our God, we thank you so much for just the opportunity to meet in this fashion again on our first Bible study for the year of 2016. We thank you for the wonderful privilege to be able to talk about prayer. And we thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have to talk to you in prayer. And so this afternoon as we come, we ask that you may forgive us from our sins. Cleanse us all, O Father, from all unrighteousness. Fill us, O God, with your Holy Spirit. And help that by thy grace, that the blessings of the covenant may be upon this particular program that we are doing, upon this particular study, so that Friday evening after Friday evening, those who are listening here, O Father, may be blessed, and not only be blessed, but their lives would be changed. They may come to know you, whom to know is life eternal, and then together, all of us, O Father, who are listening in, and all who would listen after online, would be able to receive a place with you in your eternal kingdom when you come. Father, hear our prayers. Bless our prayers. Bless each listener that is online today. Bless each home that is represented here today. Help that by thy grace that this year, 2016, may be a banner year for all of us. Help that by thy grace that all of us may draw closer to you. Help us to develop new habits that would help us, O Father, to develop the character that would become more and more like you, so that we can indeed be your representatives here on earth. Father, bless our speaker in a mighty way today. Thank you for him. Bless Jackie, our co-host. Thank you for her, oh Father. Bless all those who are listening. We thank you for them. And as we go into our reading for the study today, as we look at John 17, a few verses from that book, we pray that your words may find a lodging place within our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm just going to read from verse 6 of John chapter 17, just as a gateway into this. And it talks about Jesus says, Jesus says, and I'm reading from the NIV. It says here, I have revealed you to those whom you have given, to those whom you give me out of the world. They were yours, and you give them to me. This is Jesus praying to his Father, and this is what he said. And they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I give them the words you give me, and they accepted it. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. Amen. And this is such a wonderful thing. Jesus prayed for us. He says, I prayed for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. For they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you give me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By that name you give me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the scriptures would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Isn't that beautiful? They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them, that sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. And this is the part I love about this prayer. Jesus says, my prayer is not for them alone. In other words, it's not for the disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And that's where you and I come into this prayer. Isn't that something? Jesus Amen. Prayed for us. He says, I prayed also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you give me, that they may be one with us. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And we'll stop there. That was John 17 from verses 6 through 23. And now we're going to listen to a very special song, and I just want you to enjoy this. as we play it, and it's called Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song.
Amen. Amen. Now we have our speaker, Pastor Larry Milliken.
Prayer must be very important indeed, that Jesus himself prayed. Here we have a perfect Savior, a perfect example, and yet he recognized the need of prayer. As a human, he prayed. In fact, many times we're told he prayed all night. And I thank you for reminding us of that prayer, Pastor Don, when he prayed for us, reading from that passage. What a Savior. He prayed for you and he prayed for me. So prayer is indeed important, essential, and we need to learn how to pray. Well, what is prayer? Now, before I go into this, what the Bible says about prayer and what Jesus taught about prayer, I'd like to remind you that prayer really is talking with God as we would to a friend. Prayer is communicating with God, and as was pointed out earlier, and then listening for him to communicate with us. In fact, someone has said that prayer is the breath of the soul. Now, that's pretty important. If it's the breath of the soul, we cannot live long without breathing, just a few minutes, in fact, and we cannot live long spiritually without praying. We need to be in communion with God. So prayer can be when we're driving down the road. It can be while we're working, doing a task, and we need extra help. Or it can be at a special time. So we're going to talk tonight, what did Jesus really teach about prayer? And we can only just scratch the surface of our subject because it's such a full topic. But I'd like to take you, first of all, to the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus spoke to the multitudes there on the Mount so many years ago. And part of that sermon had to do with prayer. And I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6, and I'm beginning at verse 5. And let's notice what he says, and we'll comment briefly on it. I'm reading now, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. So prayer is not a time for us to show off that we can know how to pray and for others to admire our prayers. No. That's not what the purpose of prayer is altogether. We're to pray to God. And he goes on, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret places. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So first of all, he reminds us we're not to be showing off in prayer. It's not a time to glorify ourselves. No, no, no. It's a time when we commune with God. And he suggests that we have a private place to pray, a room, a special time. And he's talking about those special times of prayer when we commune with God as to a friend. It's good to have a special place, as he said there, where the door can be shut and the turmoil of the world can be shut out, where it's quiet and we can contemplate and think and talk with God. And at least good to have that special quiet place and that secret place. And it's good, I believe, also to have a special time when we commune with God. And then in the next verse, he goes on, verse 7, but when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. So prayer is something we pour out our heart to God in our own words, and it's not a set rote of memorizations that we've said or a set recitation that we go through. No, it's simply communing with God, not repeating over and over again just to make a dramatic effect or something like that. Reminds me when I was in Nepal a few years back holding some religious meetings, and we visited some of the sacred sites, so-called there, sacred sites, and they had the prayer wheels. They had these wheels that they could spin, and the prayers were written on the wheels. As you spin the wheels, they believe, round and around with the wheels, and the prayers would up and up and up to God. Well, I believe that would be vain repetition. I don't want to criticize the people who believe that way, but I believe that's what Jesus had in mind. We're not to use vain repetitions. Say the same thing over and over and over again. We're not to just write out our prayers and then have them blowing in the wind, vain repetitions. No, no, no. It's talking to God from our heart, with our own words, our own feelings. He said, going on, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. God knows their needs, so we don't need to go and tell him everything as if he doesn't know already. He understands perfectly our needs. He understands all about us. Now we're to present our needs, but we're to do it in a simple terms and simple language then. Confident that God, our Heavenly Father, will answer as he sees best. And then you remember he gave us that sample prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It might be better called the Disciples' Prayer because he gave it to the disciples. He gave it to us. And notice how simple it was. And I'm reminding you of it. And you may want to repeat the words with me as I go along. He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your
will be done.
As it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, a very simple but beautiful prayer. And I'm not going to take time tonight to talk about all the ingredients that are in that prayer. We could spend several sessions just talking about that prayer itself. But I want to just point out that our prayers that need to be simple, coming from our heart, presenting our needs to God and praising his name. It shouldn't be just presenting our needs, praising his name, recognizing that God is our Father. He's holy. He is the one that gives us all we need. He has the kingdom and the power and the glory. He provides our daily needs. He forgives us. and praising him and claiming his promises. I'd like to next refer you to a passage in Luke where Jesus again is teaching the disciples how to pray. And this time it's in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. In fact, the chapter begins in verse 1. It says, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And again, we have the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, given next. But I want to go on to verse 5, still in the same context, about prayer. Verse 5, he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I can't rise and give to you. And then Jesus said, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, Jesus was trying to teach us, I believe, that when we present our needs to Jesus, to God, Jesus is saying, present those needs simply and humbly, but with persistence, expecting an answer. If a friend will get up at midnight and give another friend some bread, how much more, he's saying, will our Heavenly Father meet our needs? How much more? But we need to come with faith, boldly, persistent, recognizing it's our privilege to come, and our Heavenly Father will give us a favorable answer. In fact, I like the next verses. I like the next passage very, very much. He says, and I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Isn't that beautiful? So Jesus said, yes, we have a Heavenly Father, so let's ask.
Amen.
Let's seek, and let's knock.
Yes.
And let's be humbly and boldly confident that our Father loves us. He said, everyone that asks will receive. Everyone who seeks will find. And everyone who seeks, it will be given to him. You know, I like this verse very, very much. And I like to remember it this way. Think of the word ask. And ask is spelled A-S-K. And then let's think of this passage. Ask and be given you. Seek. A-S, knock, and the door will be opened. A-S-K. Wow. How beautiful. Make a note of that, and don't be afraid to ask, to seek, to knock. Then he goes on. Jesus goes on in our passage. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Well, of course not. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Oh, yes, friends. We're coming to God as to our Father. We're coming boldly, confidently, believing that our Father loves us and he delights to meet our needs and to commune with us day by day. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. And he's suggesting when we pray that we ask for the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Godhead, to dwell with us, to live within us, to give us strength, to give us victory, to bless us day by day. There's another passage I want to refer you to tonight. There's so many we could refer to. But this was in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Pastor Don, you referred us to John 17, to the prayer of Jesus just a few minutes ago. That beautiful prayer. That beautiful prayer. But here in John 14, I want to begin at verse 13. He says, "And whatsoever you ask," remember that word ask, "whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So when we pray, we recognize, though, that we only have the right to come to the Father through the name of Jesus because of what Jesus has done for us. But God provided that Savior for us. God delights to answer, but it's through Jesus because Jesus took away our sins. Jesus is the one that forgives us. He's the one that has brought us into the family of God by receiving him. So he said we're to pray in Jesus' name. And that doesn't mean we just have to use the name, but it means we come in the spirit of Jesus, recognizing that our only right is through Jesus. And it's good, of course, to use his name. But then it goes on. "If you ask anything in my name," Jesus said, "I will do it." And he goes on, "If you love me, my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." I believe he's suggesting in our passage here that part of the thing we need to keep in mind when we pray is that we need to be willing then not only to let God answer as he sees best and be patient, but we need to be willing to be obedient to what God reveals to us. Because prayer is a two-way. We're to come to God, yes, boldly, confidently, humbly, in those special times or when we need his help. But we're also to be humbly acknowledging that we need strength and grace to serve God. Because prayer is not meant to change God. God doesn't need changing. He's perfect already. Prayer is meant to change us. Oh, if we don't remember that. Too often we pray as if we've got to change God somehow. We've got to twist his arm and we've got to somehow urge him to do what we want. No, that's not what it should be at all. Prayer is our coming to God, presenting our needs, but confident that God loves us already. He delights to answer us. And then being willing to be changed. God doesn't need changing. We're the one that needs that change day by day. So I guess we need to emphasize that we need to come in faith. And you know, the Bible teaches over and over again, and Jesus taught over and over again, that we need to come in faith. Without faith, it says, we cannot please God. And while I am John, in the Gospel of John, I want to remind him of experience that illustrates that importance of having faith. It's in John chapter 4. It's a story, experience that happened. I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'll refer you to the experience and then suggest you may want to read it when you've timed yourself. In John chapter 4, beginning at verse 46. And it tells how a certain nobleman came to Jesus because his son was sick. And he'd heard that Jesus was there, so he came to Jesus and pleaded with him to come down and heal his son because his son was about to die. Notice what Jesus said to him, and I am reading now from John chapter 4, verse 48. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." Jesus was saying, you know, you don't really believe in me Yes, you want me to heal your son, but you don't have faith in me. You just want me to do what you want. But you don't want a relationship with me. You don't have faith in me. You don't trust me. Unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe at all. And the nobleman said to him, Sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, Go your way. Your son lives. And then the Bible says, So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Ah, he had faith, in other words. Believing and faith is the same thing. And as he was going, the servants met him, and they said, Your son lives! Your son lives! And he inquired of them the very hour that his son got better, and it was the very time that Jesus had said to him, Go your way, your son lives. Jesus was trying to teach that man that he must have faith and that he must believe and be confident going to be heard. I want to give you one more story. There's so many I could give you this evening, but I'm going to take time for one more, this time in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. This is an experience that we find that happened when Jesus with Peter, James, and John came down from the mountain. And here he discovered a whole crowd of people gathered around the other disciples, and they were discussing something. And Jesus said, What are you discussing with my disciples? And one of the multitude said, Teacher, I brought my son to you. Has a mute spirit, and whenever he seizes him, whenever this evil spirit seizes him, he throws him down, he foams his mouth, he gnashes his teeth, he becomes rigid. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. Here this man said, I brought my son for you, but you weren't here. I asked the disciples to heal him, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't cast the spirit out. And so Jesus said to him, Oh, bring him to me. And they brought the boy to Jesus. Jesus saw him. Immediately his spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground, and he wailed, foaming in his mouth. It was a terrible situation. So Jesus asked the Father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. And often he is thrown in both into the fire and the water to destroy him. Then notice what the Father said. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Notice he was doubting. If you can do anything, have compassion. And Jesus said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I found sometimes I have to pray that kind of prayer. Lord, I believe, but my faith is weak. Help my unbelief. So Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to leave. You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit cried out, convulsed him, but came out of the boy, never to return again. And Jesus took the little boy by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Now later, he said to the disciples, This kind can not come out by anything, but by prayer and fasting. Oh, friends, all things are possible. Every situation that's according to God's will is possible if we believe. And I'd like to remind you, we need to pray another kind of prayer. Jesus himself, when he prayed, remember the night before his death, in agony he prayed, If it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done. Oh, Lord, he's praying, give me strength, but I don't think I can do it. I go through this terrible ordeal of the beatings and the whipping and the crucifixion. If it's possible, remove it. but not my will, but your will be done. And we need to pray then, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And be willing to have God answer our prayers as he sees best. So as I kind of summarize what we've been saying tonight and kind of add to it, I'd like to say this. Jesus never stressed a certain position that we needed to be in to pray. Yes, he himself knelt many times, but sometimes he prayed standing. So we can pray when we are in that secret room by ourselves. It's best to kneel in both times. But we can pray when we're standing if we need to, or when we're driving a car. It's not the position. It's the faith that we have and the need that we have. So Jesus was stressing attitude. We need to believe. Come expecting a blessing. We need to have faith. It's an attitude. And what does God want from us? Really, if you wanted to summarize it, it's love and trust. Love and trust. He loves us, and he wants to meet our needs. So prayer is coming to God as to our loving Father, believing that he loves us, that God loves us, that he'll answer our request as he sees best, and then being willing to let him change us, that we perhaps can be an answer to our own prayers many times. God bless each of you, and let's keep praying. When we rise in the morning, when we go to rest at night, and whenever we need to, in those special times. And let's believe and know that God is going to do great things for us by his power and grace. Amen.
Amen. And amen again to that. That is so powerful. There are just so many thoughts that were shared. That was shared there, Pastor Milliken, that I am truly blessed, and I'm glad that we started out with this particular note, talking about prayer, because if there is one habit that we need to copy from Jesus Christ, it would be the habit of prayer.
Amen.
And I think as we go into the new year, listeners, and I'm encouraging you, as I encourage myself, is that one of the things that we need to do is to develop some new habits for the new year. I don't know if prayer was something that you had, made a custom in your life. But if it is not a custom in your life, we're hoping that from today onward, that like Jesus, you would make prayer a custom, make prayer a habit, one of the new habits that we develop. And in that way, we will be able to build our relationship with Christ and keep build our relationship and keep our connection with
Amen.
Him.
Amen. Connection. That's the right
time.
Word.
Yes. Because we don't want, as we go through 2016, to be disconnected from God.
Amen.
But we want to be connected at all times, and prayer, and through the study of his word. And that's why we have the study of his word here also is are two key elements in us staying connected with God, our Father. I was very intrigued, Pastor, with what you said there about love and trust. That is what God wants from us, love and trust. I just wanted to know why did you say that is what God wanted? I mean, don't we love him? Don't we trust him? I mean, he is God. Why is this still something that God is seeking from us?
Unfortunately, many times we do not trust God. We only come to God when we have a big need, and then we cry out to him. But we really don't trust. Trust is a word that is related to love. You know, we want to use God. We want to change God, but we're not willing to trust him to change us.
Mm.
And And our faith, all of us, of course, our faith is very weak. It has to grow. Faith is not something that we have full bloom. It has to keep growing as we learn to trust. Just like we can't trust everybody else, we have to learn to trust certain people and find that there are others we can't trust. But with God, we can trust all the time. We need to trust. And love has to go with him.
Yes. I'm so thankful that you explained that. Because like you said, we just want to use God sometimes. Whenever we're in trouble, then we cry out to him, like the children of Israel. But once things are going good, then, you know, we put him aside until the next crisis comes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we treat him like someone said, a cosmic Santa Claus, right?
Exactly.
All right. So let me ask you another question, Pastor. Why do you think it is that so many of us spend so little time in prayer? Why do we, I mean, if this is so essential, especially us who believe as believers, why is it that we still spend so little time in prayer?
I think there are many reasons. I'll give you some that come to my mind quickly. Number one, we often get very busy in life, and the pressures of life around us, work or doctor's appointments, whatever it may be, we get very busy. And so it's easy to kind of neglect it.
But Pastor, Jesus was busy too. Jesus was a busy man. I mean, and still he finds time to pray.
We should pray. Busier we get, the more we should pray. But I'm just saying it tends to happen. And we neglect it because we don't realize fully how much we need it. That's one reason. It's not a good reason. I'm not suggesting it's a good reason. Another factor, I think, is there's an enemy that'll do everything to keep us from praying.
Amen. Amen.
There's a battle going on, and the enemy knows the weakest saint praying to God is stronger than all the forces of evil. The weakest saint, if we get down on our knees and pray, reminds me of Jesus, where he said, if you got faith as a grain of mustard seed, even if our faith is small, if we pray, God will hear. But the devil knows that. So the devil does everything to keep us from praying. And then I think there's another factor. I think we get in bad habits. You know, you talk about having good habits. We need good habits. But sometimes we get in bad habits. And sometimes we'll, without thinking, we'll kind of rattle off a prayer. You know what I mean when I say that? We just say a prayer. It doesn't mean anything. It was maybe we memorize the Lord's Prayer and we just, the Father in Heaven, you say it off. But we're not thinking. It's
you
a
just hurry it through. Just do a hurry prayer.
Yes. Just because, I got to pray, so I rattle off a prayer. No. We need to remember, prayer is talking to our Heavenly Father. Prayer is communion with God. But we get in bad habits sometimes. Or maybe sometimes we've been even mistaught. We've been taught wrongly. We've been taught, remember Jesus warned about like the heathen who repeat the things over and over again. And we get in bad habits. And we think, well, if I say this prayer, then God's going to hear me. It's a nice prayer, I'll say it. No, God doesn't hear us because the prayer is nice. He hears us because he's a God of love and because we're sincere. And we're presenting our needs and our love and devotion to him. So there are many reasons, I think, why we don't pray as we should. Those are four reasons that came to my mind just quickly.
Yeah, and I think we can add to that also the priority that we place on prayer.
Yeah.
Jesus prayed because he realized that, you know, that should be ahead, but we put other things, you know, higher on our list of priorities, and we put prayer way down there. Like you said, that's something that we just rattle off. But then, you know, the things that are not so important is what we put up there.
Right. I think there's another reason that comes to my mind. oftentimes we prayed for something very earnestly, sincerely. We pleaded with God, and he didn't answer the way we wanted him to. And then the enemy led us to doubt. Well, it's no use. God didn't hear you. He didn't answer your prayer. Maybe we were praying for something, maybe a friend who was dying, and we were praying for that person to live, and that God didn't say yes. That's what we need to recognize, that God knows best. We have to believe that. That's where faith comes in again. God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we think we should have it answered, but the way he sees best. Just like when my girls, I have three daughters, when they were young, I loved them, and I still do, of course, but did I give them everything they asked for? No. If they asked me for a sharp pair of scissors when they were very little, did I give them that? No.
No.
Because I thought it was not the best for them. They might hurt themselves. Well, God sometimes doesn't give us the things we ask for because he loves us so much, he realizes there's something better he can give us. In fact, maybe I could point this out. I believe God answers prayer in one of four ways. Sometimes he says yes, that's the way he wants to do it.
Yeah.
But sometimes he does say no. He still answered us, but he said no. Mm. But when he says no, he really may be saying not yet or not now.
Right.
Be patient, wait. I'll give it to you later. Wait, is this in the right time? Or he may do something else. He may substitute, and if he substitutes, he gives us always something better, never less.
Amen.
So many times he wants to substitute and give us the better things that we didn't ask for, but we should have perhaps if we would have really realized our needs.
Okay. So what are the other two ways? You said yes, no, and...
Wait, not yet.
Wait. Okay.
A little late. And the fourth way, he gives you something better. He substitutes.
Okay.
And I think last one is the best often.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Isn't it?
And even when he takes something from us, he doesn't take something without replacing it with something better.
Exactly.
We might think that, you know, we're going to lose out when God takes something, but look at what he gives in the place of that.
Yes, exactly. So this is where faith comes in again. We need to honestly believe that God does love us and that he does want to give us the best things in life.
Amen. Well, Pastor, this is such an intriguing topic. We can spend the entire night on this, but our time has come to an end. Maybe you might want to do some more about this, about prayer later. Something you can think about and pray about and see if you can fit it in. Maybe if you want to do it or continue next week, you let me know. Or
well,
if you want
next week, I'm going to be talking, if you don't mind, about important ingredients of learning to pray, and that's learning forgiveness. I'm going to talk about forgiveness, what Jesus taught about forgiveness. And it's tied with prayer. It goes together.
Right. So we can continue a little bit more about this next week.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Friends, our time is up, and we are so blessed. I don't know about you, but I think we are off to a good start, and I just hope that we would all make the commitment or purpose within our hearts that we are going to develop the right attitude when it comes to prayer, and we are going to develop a new habit. If we haven't made prayer a habit before, we will make prayer a habit so that we can stay connected with the source of all power, and that is God himself. Jackie, I'm going to let you close us out in prayer because our time is up. So we'll go right into our closing prayer.
Father in heaven, this evening, Lord, we want to thank you for this awesome opportunity we have to begin the first session of Bible study, Lord, because what other way we could begin but be thankful, Lord, to praise you, Lord, and to allow you to work through us, Lord. And we are thankful that we have this powerful tool to access your throne of mercy, Lord, to pray, to talk, and help us not to forget, Lord, that is a two-way conversation, Lord. Lord,
Amen.
We thank you for it, Lord, and
Amen.
Help us to be persistent. Help us to remember
yes.
whenever we ask and we don't get an answer, we must seek. And if we don't get an answer, knock and continue asking, Lord, because you know and you can meet and supply all our needs. Sometimes it's not yet. Sometimes it's right away. Sometimes you have something better. Sometimes you are protecting us. Help us, Lord, to trust in you and allow you to work things out for us, Lord. Lord, again, we thank you for the speaker. It was awesome, Lord. Bless you.
Yes.
Each and everyone here, the one that will be listening later on, Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory, Lord, and we pray that we will have more about prayer soon. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, and be with us all the rest of this weekend. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. God bless you, my friends. Have a wonderful weekend. Make sure you find yourself in your place of worship, and make sure to pray. We'll see you next week at this same place, at this same time, and I just pray that each and every one of us will invite someone else to be with us. We missed a few of our friends. We have to just remind them that we are back on the air, and so that they can be with us next week and they can enjoy some of this blessing. So have a great week. Thank you again, Jackie. Thank you, Pastor Milliken. Thank you to
You're
each
welcome.
And everyone that is listening.
You're welcome.
God bless.
God bless.
And we'll see you next Friday evening. Bye for now.
Bye now.